من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh, dear listeners, a podcast where we, the students and faculty at Timbuktu Seminary, sketch in your minds an outline of fiqh in an auditory design, imagining deeply that your hearts would delight, and through outlining the 38 chapters of fiqh, a spark would ignite. Our mindset, our manners, our conduct intact. The laws of behavior and how we should act. We have with us today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How are you, Sheikh?
Ana bikhairin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa antum? Inshallah antum bikhair. Okay, let's get started. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. What page number are we on?
Now, this is chapter 4 of the Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. This is page number 135 of the book and 152 of the PDF file. We are on reputable partner, manual, and comprehensive partnerships.
Nah, bismillah. So let me get to that page right quick. You said what number in the PDF on the book?
On the book, this is page 135.
Okay, go ahead, please.
All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Reputable partner, manual, and comprehensive partnerships. First, reputable partner partnership. It is a trade partnership in which two or more partners provide no capital, but they are reputable enough to purchase trade goods for deferred payment. The partners share whatever loss or profit in accordance with what they have previously stipulated. This kind of partnership involves no capital. Rather, the partners purchase and sell goods depending on their good reputation, covenant, and people's trust in them, and they share in the profit according to their previous stated conditions. The Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, Muslims must keep to the conditions that they have made.
Okay, let me break in here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so this type of partnership is based on your credit worthiness. This is the term that they use in business. Credit worthiness. So you have a reputation of being worthy or dependable. Your word is your bond. People trust and like you. You have a reputation. Okay, so based on that reputation, people, meaning other tujar, other businessmen, will give you work on consignment. Meaning, they'll give you work and they won't charge you for it until you sell it. Once you sell it, then you owe. This is what is meant by deferred payment. They put off you having to pay for the goods that you are selling until after you sell them. Why are they doing this for you? Because you have a good reputation and you're good for it, as they said. Okay, so now he makes a mention and says, look, the profit will be established by what is previously stipulated. He leaves that just like that. What that means is whatever agreements were made prior. Let's say you said you're going to split it 50-50, 40-30, whatever, 60, whatever the price, the percentage that you agreed to, you have to stick to. There's no set number amount here. And you don't have to give up any capital, right? Now, he mentions then at the bottom, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-muslimun ala shurutihim. And then he translates that, the Muslims must keep to the conditions that they have previously made. This is true. But what he's not saying here is that this is not the proof of this type of agreement per se, but this is a general principle that includes but is not limited to this type of agreement. Okay? So this statement wasn't made just for this type of partnership. But it's to state whatever you agree to, you have to stick to that. So if you agreed to take only 10%, then that's what you're owed, 10%. If you agreed to 90, then you agreed to 90%. So this is what is going on here, because sometimes what happens is when people get in these types of business transactions, then they start to see that the people are only buying it because of their reputation, their name. They want to demand more money, but they already agreed to a certain amount. Okay? And so then they have to stick to the conditions they agreed to in the beginning. Continue.
Now, this type of partnership is similar to Einan, cooperative partnership. So it is given the same rulings.
Okay, what's similar about this? What is so similar about this type of partnership?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What's similar between this reputable partnership and the Einan partnership is that the two partners seem to share on equal, they seem to participate on equal terms with each other.
Okay, they participate, but nobody said on equal terms, on agreeable terms. Okay, what's cooperative about is that each one is doing something. One partner is providing the goods. The other partner is providing his reputation and selling them. So each one is cooperating with the other one, or, you know, ta'awun, right? Working with each other to come to a joint profit. They're doing different things to come to this joint profit. That's why it's similar to the cooperative. Co-op, both sides are doing it, okay? Go ahead.
Now, each of the two partners is considered a representative commissioned by the other partner, as this type of partnership is based on commission and sponsorship.
Okay, so commission is the one who is, selling the goods. Sponsorship is the one who is providing the trade goods. And we see this when we see sports people and actors. You know, a word from our sponsor, right? And then the sponsor's advertisement comes up, and the one who's representing the goods is normally a well-known person, okay? And what sometimes you don't see is that that person usually has a store in his name, in his hometown, or in different places that he gets specific profit from and gets a commission from. I'll give you an example. If you guys are old enough to remember, what's the guy's name? Magic Johnson. He was a basketball player back in the 80s. He was really in the 80s, okay, in the 90s. You guys remember Michael? Was Magic Johnson. You familiar with him,
yes,
guys?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, absolutely. And Michael Jordan did the same thing, too.
Right. Magic Johnson on purpose. Particular because most people knew that basketball players sponsored sneakers. But Magic Johnson, he was one of the first ones to sponsor coffee. When Starbucks first came out, Magic Johnson was their was one of the people who was getting a commission because of his good reputation. He was back. He was like the face of Starbucks in certain neighborhoods. Like the Starbucks on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue in Manhattan was known as Magic Johnson's Starbucks. Okay? And when you would go there, pictures of him all over the place. He would show up there sometimes. It's right next to the building that, the old president used to go and had an office in there too. Clinton was there. And when I lived in L.A., there was the Magic Johnson movie theater, and he got a commission out of that movie theater. And people would go to that movie theater. They would go to that Starbucks out of endearment towards Mike.
Looks like the Sheikh dropped from the call.
Okay, you guys follow me?
Yes, sir. You dropped for a second from the call, but we didn't catch the very last bit of what you just said.
What I was saying is that here is a good example of sponsorship. Starbucks Coffee sponsored Magic Johnson, and they had a cooperative partnership, okay, in that Magic Johnson got a commission from particular stores, and he promoted the coffee for that particular company. And so it was a quid pro quo relationship. I do something for you, you do something for me. And what Magic Johnson promoted, I mean, what brought to the table was his reputation, his credit worthiness. That if I like it, you like it, this type of thing. All right? And so the commissioning, he got a commission, and the ones who sponsored him was the Starbucks coffee. Continue.
Nah. The share of each partner with regard to the ownership is to be specified according to their mutual agreement, be it an equal, less, or more share.
And this is what I said earlier. It does not have to be equal. It does not have to be equal amount of money. And most times it's not. Because remember, the company, the sponsoring company, is putting up all the money. Okay? Now, the other one could argue and say, look, well, I'm putting up my reputation here. And so that's always where it has to be specified by mutual agreement. Both sides agree beforehand. In addition,
each of them is to bear his share of the loss in accordance with what he owns in the partnership. If one owns half the company, one is to bear half the loss, and so on. Likewise, the share of the profit of each partner depends on their previous stipulation, be it half, fourth, or third of the profit. This is because one of them may be more reputable and trustworthy among merchants than the other, or more skillful in trade than the other. Ayubi, I see your hand is raised.
No, continue.
Okay. Moreover, the effort or the kind of work done by one partner may differ from that done by the other. So one of them may deserve to have a larger share than that of the other. In such a case, they are to stick and refer to the conditions they agreed upon. It is worth mentioning that each partner in this type of sharika has the same rights stated in the Inan cooperative partnership.
Okay, so what they keep saying by mentioning that is that you should go back and you should know, as a foundation, the Inan or cooperative partnership. Because already it's the basis of this type of partnership. And whenever that's the case, you always want to know the fundamentals. Okay? So you want to make sure you understand the...
We lost a shake again from the call, but maybe he'll return shortly.
Okay, I don't know why this keeps doing this. I thought I had this thing fixed. MashaAllah. Barakallah fina. May Allah make it easy for us. Now, it's all about what comes into what's been written on that paper. Whatever you agreed upon, you have to stick to it. Okay, you have to stick to the agreement on paper. That's the bottom line. And we find people lamenting and being upset when they are forced to stick to what they agreed upon. And so you have to think ahead to determine whether you want to do this for as long as they say you are asking you or you are agreeing to. Okay? Continue.
Question, Sheikh. Must these agreements be oral, or must they be written, or can they be verbal?
In all these cases, it is best to have a written agreement. And these written agreements, in the American system, the written agreement has to have been certified by a notary public. This is the strength of a notary public. All agreements have to be notarized. So that notary is the witness. Okay, and they have the record of it as well, that you signed. I witnessed you sign this. You read it. You were given opportunity and time to read it. You were given time to make adjustments and to make stipulations and objections. And, you know, that becomes the thing. Once if that is the case and it's certified by the notary, you have to stick to it. In Islam, we have a similar type thing, except for everyone is given the opportunity to be the notary. Normally two male witnesses in this case, because there's a promise of wealth. I'm giving you, because in one case, the person may be giving the other person actual trade goods. And then in the other case, there's a percentage given, so there has to be a documentation about how much is sold prior to the person becoming the sponsored person getting a commission, right? And then the change, how much was sold afterwards, okay? Because sometimes in those contracts it says, okay, every increase, 10 increase that you get, then I'm supposed to get a new share. Because before you were only selling $1 million a year, but now once I became known as the one, you know, representing your company, you sold $5 million a year. And now I need to see some type of proof that you are, how much you are selling. Because otherwise you can lie, right? Say, you know, all I sold was $2 million. I didn't sell anything. All I sold was $1 million, the same as I did last year after you came by. You didn't do any benefit for me. So there has to be some accountability. And all these things are stipulated on paper so that people cannot forget and they'll be able to remember, because it's easy to forget some of the details. So these should be written down. The more complicated the contract, the more demanding it is to be written down. Okay? However, if you want to say, does it have to be written down? I would say no. It does not have to be written down, but it has to be witnessed. Continue.
Question.
Go ahead.
This section where he says, likewise, the share of the profit of each partner depends on their previous stipulation, be it half, fourth, or third of the profit, and what comes before it. Could this be used as a proof for trading in the stock market?
I mean, in what case?
In the case of buying shares of a company in return for whatever percentage of shares you buy, getting that as your return of profit?
No, this is a different type of agreement. You know, this, the stock market purchasing, you're actually buying into the company. This type of agreement, there is no money transfer. There is no, as he stated earlier, this is a non-capital transaction.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It does.
Okay. Continue.
Nah.
Oh, I didn't realize that my face is here.
Nah.
Continue.
Second, manual partnership. It is the kind of partnership in which two or more partners share whatever they earn by their own work. It is so called because the partners use their manual power in working as a means of earning money, and they share whatever profit they get.
Okay, one second. Illegal. Before we go, you have to understand the word manual. What does the word manual mean?
It means using
the
your hands.
The word manual comes from manos, and it means using your hand.
Manos comes from manos, and manos is actually your thumb. Manos is actually the thumb, right, doctor?
Well, it depends on which language, but yes.
We're talking about Latin. Latin is your thumb. Okay, now, you know, yes. We're not talking about Spanish or French derivative, but from Latin itself, manus is thumb. And it was called this way, and this is important to understand from a fifth perspective, because it shows you where and how the Kufar think. Okay, the Kufar determined that a person was a human because of he had a thumb. And that's why he calls them man, from the word manus, okay? And from manus, we get mano, man to man, face to face. But man is based on using your hand. Now, of course, this has been disproven, this idea that the difference between a human and an animal is the thumb, because a number of animals have thumbs. Raccoons have thumbs. Monkeys have thumbs. But the Kufar, they don't back down from their stupidity. And so they keep this idea that the difference between human and man is this thumb. Allah tells us the difference between human and man is the tongue. Okay? So this is why it's important to understand this. Allah tells us the difference between human and one of the physical difference that you can see is that we speak from our tongue and they speak from their throats. So if a bird or something makes sounds, even the bird that makes the parrot sounds, it's all making from their throat. And they're not using their tongue to talk with. Right? So we have a difference in aqidah based on physiological differences and understandings. But for our purposes here, manual partnership means what he did by his own hand. Okay? What work he did in of himself, you know, so that's, and they're putting it together. Some people call this synergy. You bring 50, I bring 50. And then together, when we work together, we don't make 100, we make 150. That's manual labor at a synergistic fashion. Continue from the legal proof.
Nah. The legal proof of the permissibility of manual sharika is the hadith in which Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said what may mean, I, Ammar, and Sa'ad became partners in what we would get from the booty on the day of Badr, on the day of the Battle of Badr. Sa'ad then brought two prisoners, but I and Ammar did not bring anything. Compiled by Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and other compilers of hadith.
Okay, so what happens here is that you make an agreement. Okay, with the other brothers. Here, Sa'ad, Ammar, and Ibn Mas'ud, they said, we will share, we'll put everything together that we get, and we'll share it, we'll split it, okay, equally. So, you know, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, he's the first one to bust a grape in Islam, okay, the first one to shoot an arrow, you know. So he brings back, you know, two prisoners. But Ammar ibn Yasar and Ibn Mas'ud, they didn't bring anything that day. So Sa'ad still, based on the agreement, had to share what they got from those two prisons. Either they ransomed them off or they worked them. However they did it, they had to share it with three of them. Continue. Imam Ahmed commented.
The Prophet ﷺ made them share in the ownership of the two prisoners. Hence, this hadith proves the permissibility of manual sharika.
Any questions?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay, go ahead, please.
As soon as partners get into manual sharika, the works accepted by one of them become obligatory to be accepted by the other.
So I don't each think of the partners well. I don't think that was stated well. Okay, what it means here is as soon as the contract has been made, as soon as it has been agreed upon that you are now in a manual partnership, whatever one makes, it has to be shared by the other two. Okay? Whatever the other one, any one of those three, in this case three, makes is now the joint property of all three. And must be equally split amongst the three, or based on whatever agreement they made. Continue.
Nah. So each of the partners is demanded to fulfill what has been accepted by the other, as entailed by the manual sharika between them.
Again, I think this is presented in the wrong way because it makes it seem like there's something they have to do. No, there's nothing they have to do. Each manual did his part, and the other one is to accept it, meaning accept the wealth from it. It has to be split between them. Continue.
Manual partnership is still valid even if the partners do different kinds of work. For example, it is permissible to make a manual partnership between a tailor and a metal worker, and so on. Every partner has the right to demand his equal share in the profit made by the other. Also, in case they lease a place, it is permissible for the tenant to pay any of them the rent. And in case they rent a place, the landlord has the right to ask any of them for the rent. This is because each of the two partners is considered a representative of the other. So, they share whatever responsibilities or duties due to their manual partnership.
Right. So they get everything together. They share in the good and the bad. All obligations on one are obligations on the other. All responsibilities of one are responsibilities of the other, you know. And any debts one incurs, all of them have occurred. But any profit they get has to be split as well. Continue.
Now, manual partnership is also valid in cases of lawful manual work, such as cutting firewood, collecting fruit from mountains, mining, etc. If one of the partners becomes ill, the profit gained by the other should still be divided between both partners. This is supported by the aforementioned narration, which states that Sa'd, Ammar, and Ibn Mas'ud made a manual partnership, and Sa'd then brought two prisoners, while the others failed to get any. However, the Prophet ﷺ made them share in the ownership of the two prisoners. With regard to this issue, if the healthy partner demanded the sick one to appoint a new worker as a substitute, the sick partner is obliged to agree. This is because their partnership is based on manual work on the part of both of them. So, if one of them is unable to work, he has to appoint another in his place to maintain the validity of their partnership contract. Therefore, if the ill partner refuses to appoint someone in his place, the other partner can cancel the partnership contract.
Okay, so this is, let me explain something here. This is not true. Meaning that it is not true that they have to. They only have to if the other party demands it. Okay, just like I said earlier, if one is sick, he still gets his portion. And he gives the example that the other two didn't bring anything, but the partnership still laid up. So if one misses a day, you know, and the other ones know he's missing a day, and they don't say anything, then the partnership still stands. It only becomes obligatory for him to provide another person in lieu of himself, if that's the case, when the other parties demand it and say, no, we don't want to go with you not being here. You have to at least try. You understand? That's why it's saying two contradictory things.
Yes, sir.
Continue.
I have a question.
Emmanuel partnership.
Go ahead.
On this matter. What about, is it also based on this possible for someone to just appoint someone else? Like, let's, you know, they used to have slaves, right? So could they say, you know, I don't feel like working today. I'm going to send my slave to do my part. Just because. No, that's what I want to. Is that possible?
Again, the person has to be acceptable by the other ones. Okay? Listen to the rest of it. He's going to mention it. Go ahead.
In manual partnership, it is permissible that partners share in the ownership of riding animals or taxis and share whatever fares they get from them, for it is a means of earning after all. It is also permissible that a person gives an animal or a taxi to another to work on and share whatever fares they get. Similarly, it is permissible that such manual partnership is concluded between three partners. One provides the animal, for example, the other provides the necessary tools, and the third works on it, and that whatever they earn is to be distributed among them. Likewise, such partnership among agents who promote the selling process, display the goods, and bring customers is deemed permissible, and whatever they earn is distributed among them.
Okay, so they didn't mention it, okay? But the point becomes this. The partners cannot promote someone that the other partners disagree with. Okay? Because then that's a way of cheating as well. Let's say you promote a weaker person to do manual work with them, and they know this person is weaker, or a person that's not going to work as hard, and you still get your equal share. No. They have to agree upon the person that works with them. Okay? Because that's the one they're in agreement with. And your representative has to likewise meet the standard that they all have agreed upon. Because the agreement is with you. Okay?
Now,
Okay, continue.
Sheikh, must this manual partnership be split on even terms, or can it also be up to what they determine in their agreement, 30% or 60% or whatever?
It's always back to what they agreed upon. Yes, it can be unequally distributed. Meaning, as long as they have mutually agreed upon the percentages beforehand. Continue.
Nah. Third, comprehensive partnership. It is a type of partnership in which each partner authorizes the other to handle freely every aspect of the capital and labor. It includes all the aforesaid types of partnership: cooperative, reputable partner, manual, and speculative partnerships. It also involves that the partners may share what they possess as well as what they owe. This comprehensive type of sharika is permissible as it comprises permissible types of sharika. It is deemed permissible because all its components are deemed so.
What it means by this is that there's nothing illegal here. The what makes something illegal in a partnership or any type of agreement, business agreement? What's the main thing?
Deception.
Deception. Okay? That's the main thing that we are avoiding in any business and transaction is deception. So there's no deception here. Okay? All the components are open and clear. Continue.
With regards to this type, the profit is to be distributed in accordance with the partner's mutual agreement.
Okay, so that answers the question that we mentioned earlier, too, right? The profit is to be distributed in accordance with the partner's mutual agreement. So that shows whatever they have agreed upon, it does not mean it has to be equal. Everybody gets a 30, 30, and a third. No, it could be 50 over here and 20 over here and 25, 30 over there. Depending on how they value the contribution of that particular partner. Continue.
Now, as for the loss, it should be borne according to each partner's financial contribution.
The word should is suggestive, not instructive. The word should here is not a demand. It is suggestive. They could have all put the same amount in at the beginning. Let's say the person said, well, look, you know what? The cart that I'm providing costs $1,000. Another person says, well, I'm going to provide product that's equal to $1,000. And the rider says, my day's work is equal to $1,000. And now, but when we go through this, the one who provided the cart says, okay, all I'm going to get is about 30%. Okay? So I'm getting 30%. The rest of you guys, and they split the 70% amongst themselves, the other two. Why? Because the guy says, well, once I provide the car, I don't have anything else to do. I just get my 30% every day. No problem. Okay? Whereas the other two have to keep coming up with labor and products. So they can decide that at the beginning we put whatever we put in and we equal like that, but in the profit it could be something different. But should is suggested. Continue.
Now, in this way, our sacred Sharia, Islamic law, extends the means of earning within the permissible limits. It allows man to get his earning, whether individually or through sharing with others, and makes people obliged to fulfill their conditions, provided they are lawful and just. All this confirms the validity and applicability of this Sharia everywhere and at any time. Finally, we invoke Allah to grant us the abidance by this sacred Sharia and to help us follow its path, as He is the hearing and the responsive.
Okay, so the dua at the end is asking Allah to help us to abide by to stick to this Sharia. Okay, to give us the wherewithal, the wisdom, the slickness, the wittiness, to find ways to apply this in modern times. Okay? And I say in modern times, it doesn't make a difference if it's modern or not modern times. I'm just saying that to show that the Sharia goes on until the end of time. and it's never going to be outdated. What we just have to learn to do is how can we apply it? In what ways is it applicable, you know, during you know, like I said, during these times and what we're going through? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Of course, all our conditions have to abide by or be within the Quran and the Sunnah. And all of our demands have to be lawful and they have to be just. We do not commit zulm, you know, oppression to other people. So this is what we have to say, and this is how the Sharia guides us. And this is where we'll end today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. And thank you all for joining us today on Outlining Fiqh. Today we covered the chapter, we finished the chapter on partnerships, walillah alhamd, and we learned a lot. But let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking. But what can you teach? To have little knowledge and to teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.